The daily offerings of in Israel were several. The daily, we've never studied this, so get on your thinking caps. We're going to read it from several different locations so we can get the whole thing in context. Because, again, remember the predicate of this is the words in Hebrews that by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. And then it says he has sanctified us by the offering of himself. So we don't even have anything to do except believe it. Okay. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due season. And thou shalt say unto them,
where were we reading from?
Didn't I just tell you?
No.
We thought you did just kind of read.
I'm raising my hand.
I thought this was our
We thought this was a test.
Okay, so okay. Well, where am I reading from?
Leviticus.
Numbers 28. Numbers
28.
I'm always slow. I can't believe we started 3 years, and all the other groups are on time.
We're going to finish. I think it has to do with...
We may not know what it means.
Self,
yeah,
we're going to finish. The dance is not finished.
He gives too much detail.
Shut up, Pam. Just shut up.
And the means...
For instance, on Numbers 28, I just said, this is where they repeat all that other stuff. Let's go to the next chapter.
We've
already read this before.
Hey, you never finished Romans.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel to be quiet. And to not make fun.
Please obey your bosses.
Did you
As it says.
Did you tell him that?
Yeah, I think I did.
I don't remember.
In the morning Bible study.
Yeah.
Everybody's nodding along like this.
We had some good Bible studies lately. I need a vacation.
Any
you know,
jokes?
Do you realize how long it's been since I had a vacation?
Well, you went to Oklahoma recently.
That did not, yeah, right.
A little excursion trip.
In New York, and we saw
New York. We heard about the place you stayed.
I don't recall going to New York.
Did you go to an $80 a week
stay? Florida, I've
been
to New York. Did you go to Austin, too?
Numbers 28.
Where is that scripture by one offering? That's Hebrews something?
Hebrews 10. Verse 17, I think, or something like that. The Lord commanded Moses, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due season. Now, in their due season is the word, it's shag moed. It's at the set time, at the festival, at the feast time. Now, the essence of the Talmud and the essence of the more the non-Pharisaical portions of the ancient documents are always that every day is a feast day. Every day is the set time. And the reason for it is the idea that, you know, today is the Passover, tomorrow is the Passover. I mean, it's the idea that there is never a time, and it shows that the more spiritual among the ancients understood this. They understood that the feasts and the offerings were just a type. And so in their due season, their offerings are to be under, these are the, what we're about to study are the daily offerings, and they were made every day at their due season. And it's a real critical issue that the scriptures call this due season. I mean, the word is the same for a feast. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer unto the Lord. Two lambs of the first year without spot, day by day, for a continual burnt offering. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. And a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of a hin for one lamb. In the holy place thou shalt cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it a sacrifice made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now the, well, before we talk about it, let's go to Exodus 29. Verse 38. Well, let's go up a little bit further. There's some really neat stuff right here. What'd you say?
Is it Exodus 29?
Yeah. Go to Exodus 29. Verse 35. And this is all about the order of the sacrifices. So the first part of 29 is the consecration ceremony for Aaron and his sons. And then the second part is the order of the sacrifices. And then the third part is the daily offerings. And that's what we want to look at. Page 38. I mean, verse 30. But we're going to start in verse 35. And thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons, according to all things which I have commanded thee, 7 days shalt thou consecrate them. And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar. And when thou hast made an atonement for it, thou shalt anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now, you got to understand, always and forever, the 7 days represent the 7 days of linear time. The idea that a bullock is offered each of the 7 days for a sin offering means that there has never been a time in all of the 7 days or the 7,000 years or whatever you want to talk about of linear time in which there hasn't been an offering for sin. Remember when Cain slew Abel and God said to him, why is thy countenance fallen? Know you not that the sin offering lieth at the door? The lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. And so the sin or the whatever that and the biggest The sin offering that's the most complete apprehension, which is the bullock, remember? That's the, where you've apprehended the fullness of the meaning of the sin offering. The bullock, in its all its many manifestations that we studied, I'm sure I could ask each of you to repeat it and it would come out just like that. But remember for now, the bullock was, this was at the time in the age of Taurus and the zodiacal age. Did I say that right? So
zodiacal.
Anyway, it was the age of Taurus, and so the animal that was offered for the sacrifice was the chief god of that age, which was the bullock. and all of its mystery in the sin offering, it was offered every day during the consecration ceremony of Aaron. It's the only time that happened. And the reason it happened, it was offered 7 days, was to signify that the sin offering was always made available. You understand that a little bit?
So this is the only time it was offered for 7 days in a row?
That's right. That's all, as far as I know.
That kind of is a double whammy in a sense, because if it's done with the all through all time vis-a-vis the bull,
it's also
through Christ.
That's right.
So the Jews who don't even know Christ see that.
Right. And as we know, We've got to sort of suspect by now that they were smarter than we were. Yeah. They're smarter than we are, right? I mean, they know a whole lot. That's not a stretch of our thinking. To the idea that these guys, that the kids that were 11 years old, 11 and 12 years old, could had memorized by that time the book of Proverbs and the book of Leviticus and could argue each point in the law and win both sides. And it just blows my... The sad thing is we're so damn dumb, and yet we think we're smart. I mean, you remember we talked about a Pharisee? The reason that the Pharisees are so insufferable is because they don't know they're ignorant. Anyway.
That's our only leg out.
Yeah, we know we're ignorant. Because, I mean, this stuff, every time I get into it, it blows me away. There's 15,000 things I still don't understand, and I've been studying it almost constantly for years.
There wasn't a burnt offering offered at Tabernacles for 8 days or something?
Huh?
Tabernacles or
what? Yeah, but it was all that mixed. There was a different number of, you know, it wasn't this one per day.
Okay.
At Tabernacles, there's 14 and then 13 and 12 and 11 and all that.
It's part of the idea that's contained in this that in the apprehension of the priesthood or in his consecration for it, Aaron and Tyke would have had to have known that there was always a sin offering.
That's right. That's the first requirement. There had to be the certainty that the sin offering was always there, or he could never have ministered. If you can't as a priest minister if you don't know the sin offering is there. Okay? Now what we're going to see hopefully tonight is that once you know you're a priest, then you never again have to labor. I mean, that's part of the heritage. That's part of what it means. The only reason you're laboring is because you don't yet know you're a priest. Once you know you're a priest, then there's no more labor. It's impossible. And that's why it says we are a kingdom of priests. And it's a biggie. And it's tied into the meal offering, which we'll get to in a minute. But what I wanted to, in verse 37, whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now again, there's only been one altar in all of history. There still is only one altar. It's the altar in the heavenly Jerusalem. And that was the same altar that was where Adam sacrificed. It was the same altar where Noah sacrificed. It was the same altar where Abram sacrificed. It was the same. It was always, there's just one altar. You understand that? Yeah, but it's still
cross?
And the altar.
Is that the idea?
Well, the altar part of the idea of the altar is the cross, because the altar is signifies death. But the thing I want you to hear is whatever toucheth the altar shall be holy. Now that's the central thing that we've got to get in our head. The word holy is not a statement about the moral condition of that which it is, or what it's describing. The word holy means, and this, if you can apprehend this, it's a legal term that means you belong to God. It doesn't mean that you meet somebody's standards of behavior, not even your own. And because of that legal thing, I write unto you that know the law, because of the legal determination that whatever toucheth the altar is holy. If you have said, Father, I am yours, I present myself a living sacrifice, by definition, from that moment forward, you are holy. You can be nothing else than holy because by definition you belong to God. And all this other bullshit about trying to become something or change yourself, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. And yet that's all we see in modern religion. Whatsoever toucheth the altar is holy. The reason we have the first fruit offering in the spring, or when we do it, whenever we do it, is so that each of you can remember that is there something troubling you? Put it in the basket. Then we'll take the basket and it'll touch the altar. And whatever touches the altar now belongs to God. It's not your business anymore. Now, you got to hear this. This isn't any, it doesn't mean, well, what do I think about this? It doesn't mean a holy, rats ask what you think about it. It's holy because of the law, not because of what you think about it. And if you're so stupid that you still want to retain yourself and retain your problems and retain what you're doing wrong or right, well, then you're kind of stupid. I mean, you're massively stupid. Whatsoever toucheth the altar is holy. Father, I present myself to you. It wasn't my fault, Father. Then you're not presenting yourself to the altar. The test of whether you've presented yourself to the altar of God is you never again justify yourself, or at least for that minute don't. And if there's a moment you don't justify yourself, then by definition you've touched the altar. Then any self-justification from then on is a lie. You don't have to pay attention to it. Capisce?
That's why the body, because we'll forget it in a minute. Hopefully when others see it, they're triggered and they say, wait.
Yeah. We had to deal with Jim this morning. I mean, I had to yell at Jim this morning harder than I've ever yelled at him, because he's really, I mean, whether you... Jim is like a, you don't beat cumin, all right? So if you beat on Jim, he'll go crazy. So I had to holler at him because he was into himself. And he was into himself because he was afraid, but he finally admitted it. You know, he doesn't talk about it with those around him, and he's afraid to talk, and he forgets that he's, you know what, any of you guys ever do this? There's this gnawing thing going on and you forgot why it's there?
I do that all the time. It doesn't take but a split second, and then I have to make myself remember why I got upset so that I can, you know, give it up or leave it alone.
I was so mad until I walked. Tonight it's a living example of. I mean, had you not been here, I would have gotten drunk tonight. I swear.
To yourself?
Then, which is a lie. That's why the sin offering is made daily. That's why we exhort one another while it's still called today, because that's the test. Well, it's forget terms like good or bad. It's what will happen until you've been fully tested in all areas, so that nothing can put you on a trip.
Why is it offered in, I mean, you can imagine a whole lot of reasons why it's offered in the morning light, and I mean the morning and then the night also, right?
Well, at evening. It's not at night. It's
well,
no.
Well, night, but it's in
the never, the sacrifice is never offered in the dark.
But it's beginning of the
day. It's beginning of the day and the end of the day.
So it's, it doesn't...
Well, I mean, by the law, it's at the beginning of the day by law, and then it's at the beginning of the day by sight.
So is it, but is it in the same day?
Yeah, because it's the process occurs so that two things happen. One is, a part of the sacrifice is in both days.
Okay.
At both times. Yes, so there's always the connection.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
But deal where Christ was,
right,
you know, the stuff was cut down and all that kind of stuff. It had to be
right.
And right at the very edge of the...
Yeah, it had to be right at the time. Right at the moment you can see the three stars or no longer discern a purple thread and all that kind of stuff. But it shows us that the beauty of the way the cycle of the seasons and night and day is, right now is legally the beginning of the day, by according to law, right now. It's the blackest, it's darkest. We're probably going to, most 99% of the people are going to sleep through it. Well, that's what, it's a testimony of what happens to the human race. The human race is sleeping through life. They've fallen asleep, chasing shadows in their dreams and chasing little dreams in their minds and tracing little. I've got a little plan, another little thing. It's just like a dream, but you're asleep. Our prayer is that we will wake up before the end of the day. I mean, you understand? Now, when the morning star appears, when the morning star actually physically appears, time is going to end. So we must be. Believers are simply those who see before the seeing. And that's what we're about. We no longer,
by that seeing, hopefully we won't be asleep.
We won't be asleep because we will be as if we are. We no longer walk as the Gentiles in the vanity of their minds. We are awake before the seeing says to be awake. There's no difference between the plowman shall meet up with the reaper. The presser of the wine shall meet up with the planter of the vine. I mean, there's no difference. And so the idea of us seeing that, say not yet that there are 4 months onto the harvest, even though it's just, you just planted the seed, but see, the field are white onto harvest. Now, see, by that seeing, it's like, I was trying to get a handle on what is the deception of people like, you know, Benny Hinn and the Tiltons and the Trinity, the Crouches and all that.
I thought you were going to say Trinity Foundation.
Yeah. The same thing. I mean, the deceptions that we all have in our minds. Yeah. But the deception is that it's a mistake for understanding what the blessing is. And take the tithe, right? And the tithe says if you've robbed God, but if you tithe, then he'll open the windows of blessings. He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain it. That ever and always is only talking about rain. You understand? In Egypt, you have to move your feet to water the land because there's no water, so everything has to, it's everything's irrigation, and so you're moving your feet. And the scriptures talk about that. It says in Egypt you had to move your feet to get to water. Yeah. But in the promise, he'll open the window of blessing and it'll have the early rain and the latter rain. And we know the rain, the word rain, is always Torah, revelation. And so the blessing is always concerned with revelation. It's not, but if you say that the blessing is material prosperity, can you imagine, just that means what you're doing is you're saying that the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the thing, is really, you know, a new Cadillac or a
comfort.
I mean, you understand how evil that is? So the deception comes in the understanding what the blessing in that context is. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain it.
It's understood naturally, no matter what words you couch it with. It's still it's natural in its understanding. It's natural in its application.
And it's sensual.
It's natural and sensual in its reasoning.
Is there something God has done in his principle system that allows these some principles to work just to continue the deception so that the flesh will be saved? Is there
sure.
Mind.
Sure. That's, the gifts and calling of God are given without repentance. If you can visualize it, if you can accomplish it. Who cares? Just visualize it. See it in your mind and it's yours. Claim it. Name it. Well, you dumb fuck. I don't want it.
Remember, I need arms. Remember Balaam. I mean, Balaam received understanding and interpreted dreams and revelation. But he was slain with the rest of the Midianites in this point in time.
Yeah.
But he had, he
even though he asked for a death, to have the death of the righteous rather than.
Yeah.
That didn't help it. Going in the other direction.
Didn't mean jack. Can we get back to the daily offerings?
Yeah. Back to the Holy Ghost.
What are you sneering at?
She's sitting in the seat of the scornful.
That is the first bright thing he has ever said in 20 years.
Harry, he's talking about your chair.
That was good. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Seat of the scornful.
That would be so funny by the time he got back to have.
Will you do that?
And then later he just listen to this tape. You know, he won't listen to it right away.
Yeah, he won't.
No.
Seat of the scornful. Can you paint it on there?
Yeah.
Will you two do that? Okay. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Verse 38, Exodus 29. Now the question is, in each of these we're reading about the drink offering, remember? Have we talked about the drink offering?
We haven't tried.
Not tried.
We want to. We veered off on that, of course.
Did you give us a one-liner on it, or should I
treat? Drink offering is a sweet savor.
Sweet savor offering?
It's a sweet savor offering. That's pretty heavy.
It must be good for God.
Because it's like also like the smell of the wine and everything, rather than something you wouldn't have any smell. That's what we say, bro.
And it's strong wine.
But it's not burnt, or it is burnt.
Well, how does it get to be sweet savor? It's not burnt.
Wine will burn.
You cannot pour it. I can tell you a whole bunch of things you can't do. I'm not done studying it yet. That's why we're not studying it. I got to look for all the loopholes. See? That's why you've got all those books.
Does it have anything to do with the cups that Jesus drank?
No. That's the cup of jealousy that he drank.
Where did he get the wine?
Huh?
Where did they get that wine?
Where did they get it?
Yeah, I mean, was that
from the wine store?
Bring it in on the wine tree.
The wine place?
The wine
place. Came from the...
Was it offering that people brought?
No. No. It was wine from a vineyard that was one of the courses of the priesthood.
That's a good course.
The vine keepers.
Huh?
Was it new wine or old wine?
What is this? 20 questions?
We're really interested in the wine.
Strong.
Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. No, but I've got. You realize how many? There's 64 volumes of the Talmud,
what
right?
What the heck have you been doing? I'll scoot this way.
Now, this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Do you understand? Do you understand that the lamb is never a sin offering?
That's why it couldn't be behold the Lamb of God take away the sin of
God. Remember we talked about that in Aramaic. There's no different word for lamb and for goat.
Yeah.
And so in the New Testament, where John says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, he couldn't be saying that. Somebody that translated that didn't know the law.
But these are specific words.
Yeah. He said, behold the goat of God that taketh away the sin of the world.
Well, both words are the same.
In Aramaic.
In Aramaic.
Oh, in Aramaic. Not in Hebrew.
So a goat could be a sin.
The goat is a sin offering, sure, the scapegoat.
Yeah, the goat.
And what he's saying is, behold, the goat of God that taketh away the consciousness of sin.
Hmm.
The scapegoat.
And that's Remember? The one Satan was taking. He was taking the Son of Man.
Also, the Greek word for goat there is only used a few times. I mean, for this translated lamb. The normal word for lamb is something else.
Yeah, but again, it's this thing. It's the process. It's becoming more and more apparent now. I mean, that's not a good way to say that. More and more scholars are of the opinion that the Gospels were written in Hebrew. Then, through different things, they were translated probably into Aramaic. And then from Aramaic into Greek. And so.
Luke was a Greek.
Huh?
Well, Luke was a Greek.
Well, but he was writing to Theophilus. I mean, let me go back a minute and understand when Luke is different. Luke is in a different category. Okay? Luke was far, far later. For the first many years of the church, the only thing that existed were the parchments. And they were copied, and they were the words of Christ, and they were carried about by these people, by the disciples, by Paul. And it was until much, much later that's what we're talking about, is those parchments that contained, to the best of their knowledge, the words of Christ. That's what we're saying. Those were probably originally in Hebrew, then probably at a later point translated into Aramaic, which was like a bastardization of Hebrew, and then later into Greek. So
the translators must have had to know all the vowel points.
See, the vowel points stopped. They wrote down. That heresy had already occurred in the Septuagint.
A couple of hundred years before.
200 years before in the Septuagint, when they, for the first time, added the vowel points to the Torah. And
That's Hellenistic influence.
Well, it was Leon. But there was rabbis that thought the world was going to come to the end because it was so much of a heresy to do that. Because then, with the vowel points there, then it could be, you didn't need revelation. You could just take the word of God and apply it to yourself. All right. The one lamb thou shalt offer. We haven't gotten very far. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. A drink offering, sweet savor. You remember, with a sweet savor offering, there can be no consciousness of sin. There can be no consciousness of mistake.
Nice place.
And that's what we stated last night in Bananas, that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. Remember, the oracle is a position. It's a law. It's not, oh, I'm going to learn my way there. It's the position under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. And if you speak from that position, then by definition, by law, what you speak is the oracle of God.
This is why there's heaven on earth.
Heaven in earth.
Heaven in earth, yeah. And understanding this is heaven.
Amen. It's the blessing. The window of blessing, because it's the revelation, it's the rain. Right. And it makes everything else just disappear.
Is the whole lamb consumed on the fire in this, or is it part of the priest?
You mean for the burnt offering?
For the burnt offering.
No, no. Remember, that's why the water is used, because it had to go in through and cleanse the innards. The water, remember the water?
Yeah.
Everything had to be cleaned.
Right.
And then it was, after it was cleansed and cleaned by the priest, then it was put on the burnt offering. And then it was put on the altar.
But all of it was burned.
But all of it was burnt offering.
Yeah, all of it was burned. Yeah, but it was after it was cut up, cleaned, and all of the poo-poo taken out. Do I say poo-poo? This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. The Lord speaks at the door. We speak at the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim. Do you understand? When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he's talking about the point from the door to the mercy seat. And that's wherever you are. I mean, it's... Where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. Look through the scriptures. The only time that he's speaking all of the time in the Torah, he's speaking to Moses or to Aaron at the door of the tabernacle. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell in them. I am the Lord their God. It says among in the King James, but in the Hebrew it says in. Now, the reason I wanted, you understand that the daily offerings that are established here and at the ones we just read in Numbers, they're offered every day continually. And again, the word continually means forever. A meat offering is offered morning and evening forever in the temple. You are the temple, in the other aspect of the metaphor. That means by the apprehension of who you are in him and by his meat offering, it has met every demand that man can have on you or that you can have on another man. Twice a day, that takes place in the temple.
The fact that it's a sweet savor to God.
Yeah.
And I don't know, when I thought about it before, it was like, you know, when you say it satisfies the demand. Well, the only way I can see that something would satisfy demands is if I had somehow the same perspective of it being a sweet savor. If it was a sweet savor to me, whatever it was, if it became a sweet savor.
So yeah, otherwise...
I couldn't be looking at something and say, this is shit, but it's a sweet savor. I mean, I would have to see something in it that it would make it... I would have the same understanding about it as...
Well, That's what the process of time is. The process of time is to cause us to confess. Now again, we don't need to remind you, but confess means to say the same thing as God. When you look in the scriptures and look up the word confess, it's very rarely it's used as we hear and think of the word confess. Oh, I'm sorry, I did them so bad. That's necessary. If mistakes are made, that happens. But most of the time, the word confess is connected with saying this or speaking the same thing as God. And so that's what happens in apprehension. As you are apprehended, and as you see more and more of the fullness of these offerings and the meaning and the finished work, then you, by definition, will confess. You will speak. You will hear the same thing as God, you will see the same thing as God, and you will speak the same thing as God, and you will understand the mind of Christ. But it has to do with the apprehension. You cannot take the things that the world says and apply them to the kingdom of God. They're meaningless. I mean, who would... You know, I could go maybe in this case it's because this has to do with. I was going to say something, but that's not true. I think maybe if it's said right, that the offerings are the best way to describe Jesus Christ to the world. What I was saying is you couldn't go to talk about the offerings to the world, but on the other hand, maybe that's the best way to talk about it.
I did something deep in my cousin last night who just turned 50, and he's in Hawaii, a believer, but, you know, no fellowship or anything. And I'm hearing this stuff through his ears, through our conversation last night. Everything, or many, many things that have been said tonight would just blow understanding wide open.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to send this to him because his hunger is just tremendous.
All right.
And so what you just saw was, I think, perfect. Yeah.
All that's necessary for you or the human race, or really for Israel, for the bride, is to understand that it's finished. And if we see that it's finished, then we bring time to an end. Because once we see it's finished, it has no more use. Now, well, the offerings that were done in the temple each day are simply to remind us now that it's done, it's finished, it's completed. There's no more offering. All we have to do... See, 90% of what man does in your life is you make offerings.
Now it's apprehension, though.
Yeah, so it's again... You know, your kids, they come to you and they found something, they made something, yeah. And it's uglier in sin, but they make an offering to you and they say, "In this, here, mommy."
Well, I agree.
When you say it's good looking,
what do you agree with?
That's an offering.
I was illustrating.
I agree.
You're right, Ollie.
Can you do something about
trying to help?
Anyway, those all of those offerings are never accepted by people. You've made offerings in relationships, and then they're always rejected. They've made offerings at jobs. You've made offerings everywhere, and they always come to nothing. That's because they're supposed to come to nothing, and they come to nothing depending on what your office in the body is. If you're like Barbara, then you take on everybody's problems, and they become your problems, and you're convinced you've really screwed up, and pretty soon Hurricane Andrew is your fault.
I was kind of praying to turn Hurricane Andrew away.
Well, no, because you have the black hole here, right here.
Barbara, working against you.
She's such a trip. At least it doesn't take her 3 months to confess it anymore. That's the only thing that you can say about it. It was only like 3 hours today.
So all that was daily offered was a burnt offering? Or were there more things?
No, there was a sin offering. It was offered every day, the bullock.
Didn't you have a piece of
at this one point, just during this one ceremony?
That's what I'm asking.
Well,
the sin offering would have to be for somebody.
Yeah, let me. There were many, many, many sin offerings made and trespass offerings made every day. So there was a continuous offering for sin and for trespass. And those were the required offerings that, you know, if you screwed up, you did this, you did this, right.
You can't make these other offerings without that sin offering preceding it, could you?
Well, he could
have. Which is the one that was made out of time. The one that was made, I mean, Christ, you know, sacrificed outside of time. For sin.
Right, but again, that was for the burnt offering. That was for the bullock, for the, you know, when the consecration of the priesthood. Okay, so that, and it's always there. That's always, you're right. That's always outside of time.
But symbol. He was in that position.
Right, but during the course of the day, there is, in any time that the temple was standing, there were many, many sin offerings made, many, many trespass offerings made. But the ones that were required by law to be made, and they were voluntary, by the way. I mean, but it's this, you're in this strange position where the law says there had, what this tells us is there had to be at least one person in the priesthood at all times that understood this. You understand what that says?
Yeah, because a burnt offering was a voluntary offering.
Burnt offering.
The law says this is what you do every day.
Right. The burnt offering and the meal offering and the drink offering were all free will offerings. Sweet savor, all sweet savor offerings were free will offerings. That means that they could only be made when you apprehended, when you saw.
You wouldn't want to do it if you didn't.
Right. So what this means is that there was always, at least, there was always a remnant in the priesthood that were making these sacrifices that understood what this means.
Also, it means that he wills and works.
He both wills it and does it in us.
So it's like the will, the voluntariness is put there by him anyway.
Right. But the willingness of it is, again, when we hear those, and we like to have Tilton theology, right? And so we see these wonderful works of God, and we marvel. But what we do is we make them something. Do you understand that we got nothing that we ever prayed for? I mean, fundamentally, but we have everything we had hoped for. We got nothing we wanted and everything we desired. You understand that? I mean, look around us. I can remember all the shit we prayed for over the last 15, 16 years. I mean, there's a lot of answered prayers, but fundamentally, no, not one of us would have envisioned what we have as to pray for.
I was talking about this kind of last night. You think in this number of groups, somebody ought to by now inherited $100,000 or $1 million and some kind of weird thing like that. No, we're kept under.
Yeah, we always have
what we need.
We need, but we've never gone in debt. Well, anyway, so do you understand that? So there are many, many offerings made during the day. I mean, it was a constant kind of thing.
But when it talks about the daily offering, it's talking about
daily offerings. It's talking about these: the burnt offering, the meal offering, the drink offering.
What were all those other offerings? Just the regular
people. Yeah. If you screwed up, remember? Do you remember we just read it?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I just clarified that.
Okay.
And I mean, that's where all the animals went. They just. Of course, they ate the meat a lot of times. The priests
did, yeah, and that's why. We're going to quit because I don't feel like talking anymore. But I want to. The mystery is that the priests are fed at and of the altar. They may not work for bread as others.
What did you just say? What?
Rewind.
The mystery is that the priests are fed and at and of the altar. They may not work for food or for bread as others.
That's apparent, you know, what we know by experience. I mean, you know, you can't be, you know, have your eyes set on Egypt and career and believe there's mystery.
Yeah, but see it from a different way.
It's mostly talking about, like, sustenance, to work for something that gives you.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you can't.
The only thing that you will gain sustenance from and satisfaction in is the offices of the priesthood.
Amen.
Yeah.
And in that, there is no effort. And his promises, he will so affect your life that your all of your needs will be met with no effort on your part, because that for you is seeking first the kingdom of God. And that's what, I mean, we're so damn dumb. I mean, we probably, if we would have had any ability to repent, we should have got all this stuff about, you know, about 11 years ago, 12 years ago, we could have been, you know.
We've been transfigured.
But prayerfully, what we are, and I really hope, and this is, I really mean this, I don't want us to get any bigger, but I think we probably have to get about 120. But I want us to be a model. I mean, people can say, okay, this is, you can do this in any denomination, you can do this in any, I don't want to try to create a denomination. The idea, though, that by the idea that a Bible study group in any church can adopt a homeless person, and that homeless person, that the needs of that person, that his needs will cause that group of 10 to become a minion. Or either that or it'll destroy them. And that's what we must be about. And that's what we must speak. We don't want to, I mean, we're not a social service agency. But we can certainly talk. I mean, we can testify to that statement in the Talmud that the one that's in need, that the householder takes in, does more benefit to the householder than the householder does to the one in need.
Amen.
Read Psalm 132:15, somebody, and then we'll quit on that one. Would you?
Just the one verse?
Yeah.
132:15. I will abundantly bless for provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread.
Okay. Now that's, I believe, the meat offering. Okay? We'll get into more of it. I don't want to talk anymore. Anybody have anything else?
I just, you know, I'm not still not clear. When it says that he was slain before time, I mean, I guess you could say when you slain him, you fulfilled all the things that. But is there a specific, you know, as for like sin?
No.
As a bullock, I mean, was.
No, remember now, the meal offering doesn't require a death. So he was the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He was, the cross was before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world.
Before sin, I mean, even before.
Before there was sin, there was a provision.
It was a sweet thing.
It was sweet.
God.
It was sweet. It was also the sin offering. It was all of them in him. He satisfied all of the offerings before the foundation of the world. Otherwise, it couldn't have been the pattern that Moses saw on the mount.
Yeah.
Don't, again, it's the way we've been taught to think. We are taught to think that one, you know, this inductive, one thing, and it's a picture here, and it has to, I mean, think of it, there are an infinite number of pictures, snapshots, to show us many, many, many different aspects of him, his finished work. Amen?
So we can see him everywhere we look.
Right. And we can see him, and that's, yeah, and the place we most clearly see him is in the Torah.